Welcome, everybody, back to episode 38 of the Warp World Podcast, the stretch episode. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of things like April Fool's gags, including the one featured here last week. We're going to be diving into details about the Spyro remaster, Spider-Man coming to the PS4, some PUBG news, and then some hot speed game action, including the GDQ list, followed by listener questions as always. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Warp World Podcast. This is episode 38. I'm Grant Pooh Bear. Joining me here, I'm sorry, I screwed that up.
It's hard to remember who you are after last week.
It's hard to remember exactly who I am after last week. Yeah, I'm Grant Pooh Bear. This is the Warp World Podcast, not the Frame Savers Podcast. Joining me is X-Water.
Greetings. I'm joining you.
On the Warp World Podcast. And, of course, Jakku.
Hey there, everybody.
Not hosting the Frame Savers Podcast, which is weird for me because I thought that's what we did. Of course, guys, we're referencing last week where we switched it up. For those who didn't make it through the whole episode, Off Blues and John Carls of the Frame Savers hosted our podcast for April Fools, and we hosted their podcast as well. You can check out their Pocket episode. What is it? The number? I don't know the number, but
TFS Pocket. I think 35, maybe 36.
Yeah, TFS Pocket 36. They have 200 regular episodes. But yeah, it's the one about Jaws, and you can check out the us. So if you missed us last week, you can still find us on the Frame Savers Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the April Fool's gag. We know some people did. Like, I got really mixed reactions because some people thought it was gold. Like, I got some tweets.
I got a lot of positive reactions from the general, like, population that's vocal about it in my stream.
I got some tweets about it that were really good, but there were some Twitch chatters that were just like, oh man, like
ruined my week.
Yeah. One thing I should say, I thought Auth and John did a like bang up job. Like,
yeah,
they kicked ass.
Yo, 100%.
Yeah. Like, I would have no problem.
Especially compared to how we did on their podcast.
Oh yeah. Oh, they did better on our podcast than we did on their podcast for sure.
Yeah. We basically were able to make talking about a 3 minute and 30 second speed run last 35
we
minutes
did our
by
best.
Talking a lot about, so which Jaws movie is your favorite?
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, we're good at stretching stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
stretching a lot of things. Check this out.
I see where this is going.
Similar to stretching the truth, like a lot of April Fool's gaggers do.
You know what? I actually did not see where that was going.
I didn't see where that was
going. What did you think was happening?
Well, I don't want to ruin the next segment, but you, can right, see, well, then, you can see where I'm thinking.
No, I'm not, but you can, it'll hit me and then I'll say, oh,
yeah, all right.
And
I'll get the next
oh,
one.
My gosh.
So April Fool's.
Okay. April Fool's. Obviously, everyone's favorite gag was the Frame Savers Warp World mashup switcheroo.
Hyped all over the internet.
All over the internet.
Yeah, our millions of listeners were really into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I wanted to talk about what your guys' favorite April Fool's gags, other than our own, of course, were.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jakku.
Sure. I was actually really disappointed in a lot of April Fool's stuff this year, mainly because it landed on Easter and it was a Sunday. But on Monday, the April 2nd, Reddit released the Circle of Trust, which is a way, it was like a subreddit that allowed you to create a circle and put a password on it. And you had to, for people to join, you had to give them that password. When they type in the password, they can either join your circle or betray your circle. And the goal is to join as many circles as possible and to get as many people in your circle without it breaking. And so, like, there was a lot of betraying going on. There was a lot of joining. I currently still have a circle. It's 51 strong. But you know,
51
oh, yeah,
people.
I'm about
that
to
I
ruin
trust.
That bitch.
You and X-Water are not in the circle.
I noticed.
Yeah, I asked for the password, and Jakku was just like, no way.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. I think like most people, favorite one. I remember like EGM ran this Sonic in Smash Brothers one. Like that was a really good one. EGM used to have really good April Fool's pranks. I felt
they did.
There was also the Luigi is in Mario 64 one that was so popular that I actually spent weekends, multiple weekends of my life trying to unlock Luigi because I did not realize that that was in fact false.
I remember Akuma in Resident Evil 2.
Oh yeah.
That was a huge one as a kid. I was like, that'd be so cool. Maybe they put them in the remake. So many of them.
Yeah, I think like this year I saw the one that was like Fortnite with all Mario characters and I was like, well, I'm really disappointed because I totally want that. Like there's nothing I want more than that. That would be the best of all my worlds. Then I could play Fortnite and be bad at it and people would somehow enjoy it because it has Mario in it.
Because it has Mario
exactly.
skin.
Exactly. All of a sudden it has Mario skin. It's like, oh yeah, Pooh can play
I
that
I recognize
one.
That.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the one I really wanted to that happened this year. I hope they make that. I just hope they put Mario skins in Fortnite once that happens. So.
That would be such an amazing crossover.
I mean, if it comes to the Switch, I mean, Nintendo's done skins for other games that
they've done it for Bayonetta. Yeah. They've done it for Skyrim.
It could happen.
They're probably going to do
that
it
car
for
game, soccer
Dark
game,
Souls.
Car soccer game. I think Rocket they call League, it soccer cars.
Soccer, extreme soccer
and
cars.
And it's football, extreme football cars in Europe.
Well,
yes.
Oh, right. I hope this happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope this happens. So,
what about you, X-Water?
Jakku, well, first, I want your emotes. Is that an April Fool's joke?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Because they're still, I just went to go double check them and they're still like, look like they've been, I don't even know what effect that is.
Is MS Paint. Shout outs to Conker is a nut. I had this idea and I threw it out to him and I said, hey, make all my emotes in MS Paint. And he did. And I gotta say, some of them actually look better than the originals.
I do like a lot of the touches. The Jakku first, the Jakku one, I really like how that one looks right now. And even the Rest His Soul Moist Suck, his brother Jakku Blow, looks really good in paint.
Yeah, and Jakku Lurk I really like. So I think I'm going to keep a few of them. I told my stream that I got in trouble and this was Pluto's punishment.
That's
that
really
he downgraded
good.
My emotes and they seem to have bought it. I forgot I did that.
Downgraded your emotes, yeah.
That was a lot of work. Because
I was expecting them to be back to normal the next day, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that was a lot of work, though. And I know you just recently changed all your emotes.
I did. I got a...
That's a pain in the ass.
Wait, for April Fool's?
No, mine's actually just a rebrand. I got single character design going on with Bonky the dog.
Oh, you chose Bonky.
Bonky, yeah.
Bonky the dog?
Yeah. I named him Bonky just because I started bonking a lot in Mario Odyssey, and then people would say, start making jokes about Bonky's here now because X-Water's just bonking all over the run. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to own it. Bonky the dog.
Oh, I see it. Oh, yeah. You're all in one character.
Yeah. We still have the squirt and we still have the pecker, but other than that,
interesting.
It's the dog now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I see a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeny did it recently.
I guess that makes
too.
Sense.
Yeah.
Raise Fire is like one of the ones that is huge.
Everyone
for that.
Loves
like,
that fox,
like
people, dude.
Yeah. I feel like people just subscribe for that fox. It's a cute fucking fox. I like Feeny's Dragon a lot too. I'm actually looking at yours. It's pretty cute. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty fucking adorable.
He's a cute.
But it's not an April Fool's. That's just a legit.
I did do an April Fool's Day joke though, which. I think I successfully fooled like 15 people, and I'd love to give a quick little rundown on it.
Cool.
Yeah. So Mario Maker on the Wii U actually can be reskinned super easily, like extremely easily.
I saw that.
Yep. So I made this gag where I had exclusive 1-hour stream access of Mario Maker 2, and I just reskinned the game and didn't show any of the menus. I would switch scenes whenever that went down, and I'd start talking about like, so as you can see, they've changed the doors to have more of a star on it instead of a key, and you collect 5 silver stars to unlock to get like a door star and all this stuff. Just making up things as I went, and a solid 20 people were like, "Oh wait, this isn't real."
Yeah, I watched that.
Oh, man, that's really funny.
Some of those themes, like that theme with the stars, it makes so much more sense than keys in some cases.
Some of them look like there was a lot of things in there that looked real good. Shout outs to Buntendo and the Mario Making Mods community. MarioMods.net is where I found everything. There's a lot of cool stuff, including like a Super Mario Odyssey skin pack that takes all the themes from SMB1 and reskins them to a bunch of different Odyssey levels. Like Sky turns into Metro. Bowser turns into Luncheon because it has lava. Water obviously turns into lake. Stuff like that. It's super cool. And they are like really well done.
Yeah. That is really cool. I mean, the Mario Maker community is not dead yet, I would say that.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yeah.
But the Mario Maker community is still going strong. That's a really good April Fool's gag. I don't know if I've ever done a good one now that I think about it.
I
need to do one.
I mean, you did a podcast.
Yeah,
I did a podcast yeah. one. I guess that counts.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't my idea. That was your guys' idea. I thought it was a bad idea at first. But at the end of it, I was like, all right, this is cool. Everybody else wants to do it. And it was fun. Yeah, yeah. I had a really good time doing it. It was really cool doing a different podcast, I felt like.
You know what was one gag that came down that like, I saw Failstream talking about it that was really lame? There was someone going around just tossing clears on really difficult Mario Maker levels. So the world record on Flotilla 3 is now botched because it's a false clear.
Yeah, it's like 6 seconds to
clear.
Yeah,
yeah. It's super lame. I was really disappointed to see stuff like that going down.
Yeah,
that is lame.
Nintendo's been pretty good at actually removing those. It does take a little bit of time now, but I have faith that it will get removed if it hasn't already.
Shout out to Nintendo. Way to go.
Yeah.
Nintendo's strong moderation team right there. Anyway, moving on from Nintendo to a PlayStation mascot.
Oh, hold on. I got this one.
Oh. Okay.
You know, talking about, you know, stretching things on another Spyro remake.
What? He doesn't stretch.
Yeah, he does.
What?
No, like, okay.
None of this is good.
It was, speaking of stretching something, let's have another Spyro trilogy. Thing. I don't know. I lost it. I had it. I had it when X-Water was gonna be like when he had his intro April Fool's thing. I thought he was going for the Spyro, and it fit. And now I lost it.
Oh my god! We've only been away from our podcast for 1 week, man.
Talking like, about things that right. fit coming into PlayStation 4's lineup is the Spyro remaster.
All right. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this anymore, other than apparently Spyro stretches in this one.
Yeah.
All right. It's a trilogy. There's three games. I didn't know there was that many Spyro games. Okay.
Okay. I did a little bit of research ahead of time, so
good,
I got some fun factoids for all you Dragon fans out there.
You stretch them along to me, baby.
Number one. The developers it's different developers than the Crash Bandicoot remaster, but same company, just like a different team. So they actually worked really closely with them, but it is an actual separate group of developers. Now, they were actually talking about it in an interview about a lot of things, like in terms of making a remastered game and the challenges that come with that, because people hold such high hopes for these games. The nostalgia goggles, they remember them being perfect, even though games that old have a lot of glaring flaws. So they've talked about how they've really tried to make sure there's a lot of quality of life increases in the game in terms of like controls. Cause this was back when like the PlayStation 1 didn't even have dual analog or any analog actually. So obviously rethinking the control schemes and stuff like that. But one thing that's really cool that I found is they actually had direct contact with a lot of the developers who worked on the original trilogy of Spyro games, including the voice actor for Spyro 2 and 3, who they were actually able to get to work on this project.
Spyro talked?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me either, honestly. I had to do a lot of research because I never played Spyro as a kid.
I played the first one.
Okay, I was going to say, have you either played these three games?
No, I played the first one way back when.
I feel like Spyro is like one of those game series, and we're probably going to get like 100, like 1-star reviews after this. Like, fuck you, Pooh. You know, I love Spyro. But I feel like Spyro is one of the game series that a lot of people talk about nostalgic-like, but really didn't ever play. And they also were, outside of the first one, I've heard, are really bad games. Like, they're not that good of games.
I
said it.
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny. I played probably 5 minutes of Spyro 1 at, like, my parents' friend's house between the time where their kids were bullying me or something. That's my one memory of Spyro. It was like a nice little escape in the middle of that god-awful house I had to go visit.
Wow.
Gina said she loved it, so I bought it for her because we have PlayStation in the house. And I bought her a copy, and she played 4 minutes of it and was like, I had no idea. I have no idea why I thought I loved this.
Maybe the trilogy's fix that. Because, like, I remember not hating it, but, like, yeah, it wasn't something where I was like, oh, I need the sequel, and now I need third one.
It was, like, a less good Mario 64, which was still, at the time, like, a really good game, you know?
Even now, I'll still say it's a really good game.
Yeah, it's still not a bad, you know, like, a bad game, necessarily. I'm just not, what do I want to say? It's just not... not like remake worthy. I don't know, but then I guess I feel the same way about Crash Bandicoot. Like, I'm sure there's going to be enough Spyro fans, and like, how many do they really need to sell to break even on a remake?
It's
of
not
Spyro
a huge
games?
Team of people behind the remake of this trilogy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, other than that, I mean, it's pretty cool to see like Sony giving a little bit of love to their old mascots. What's interesting to me is that we just saw the announcement for Crash coming to the Switch. So, like...
why not Spyro?
Right? And I think I did see a thing on Twitter about... it's nothing, like, confirmable, but one of, like, those leakers out there said they saw it on the Nintendo UK website, and it's one of the, like, more credible leakers out there. So, I guess Spyro's probably coming. I mean, I would probably guess it at this point. It's going to be a PlayStation exclusive for the first year, and then it'll come to Xbone and Switch, and everyone will be happy and buy it and play it for 20 minutes and then forget about it.
Yeah, they could just be waiting for a Direct to announce it, too, just because everything announced in a Direct seems like a bigger deal than just announcing it in a press release.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here still shaking about the fact that we have a Chain Chomp coming to Mario Tennis. So.
Oh, man, Chain Chomp.
Bite dog hits the courts.
Yeah, I mean that's a stretch of characters that can play tennis right there.
Oh man. you mentioned like Sony and remakes. I know there was rumors of a Tomb Raider remake of the original three games.
Oh really?
As well.
I think that'd be good.
And a company actually announced it prematurely a few weeks ago, and then they were actually told by Square Enix like, nope, you're not doing it.
Oh wow.
And so like they're like, oh. And backlash, and like their idea was like it's gonna like they said they were gonna work with the original assets so that you could just upgrade your game and stuff, but I guess nothing came of it, which is kind of sad because I think a lot of people remember those original games as well, the Tomb Raider games, and like there's been like reimaginings of it, but not a full on remake like Spyro or Crash Bandicoot.
I actually think those original Tomb Raider games would hold up kind of decently with a new hot graphical set too.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Like, and like everyone remembers playing those. Like I think we've talked about it before, like capturing the butler and putting him in the freezer.
Yeah,
in the third
there
one.
Was. I mean, I liked just jumping around her house for a while.
Yeah,
that was really fun. I think like the original Tomb Raider games too were kind of like they almost had like a weird like Resident Evil feeling in that you were alone most of the time. Really weren't a lot of enemies. The difficulty lied in like platforming around and not dying,
and puzzle solving. Yeah,
tons of puzzle solving. And I actually think those games would hold up pretty decently today if they got, you know, like the today's controls and looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you can even throw a different Laura Croft in there with her big pointy boobs.
Do you think they keep the pointy boob aesthetic with like a nice modern touch, or do they give her nice round boobs though?
Oh, I don't think they would do like this Laura Croft, that's for sure. Like like the Laura Croft we have now, I think they would try and do like the old Laura Croft reimagined.
Gotcha.
You know?
But
yeah, that's what I don't think they'd pointy boobs her.
Okay.
I don't think they'd pointy boobs.
Do you think they'd have a like a classic skin so you could play as the very original?
Yeah,
for
now
sure.
That they would do. Yeah. Now they probably also won't have like the nude mod, which was on the PC, which is the most important thing.
Right. Which was also an April Fool's thing, I'm sure. All right. You know, it probably wasn't even an April Fool's thing. It was probably Games Out. Nude patch was like the first thing that
Was like the very first thing that was the very first mod I ever did on a PC was the nude mod for Tomb Raider, which
the nude mod
tells you a lot of
modding virginity.
Yeah, which tells you a lot about my priorities as a 13-year-old, and B, you know, just like my overall state in the state of mind at that time. So,
I think that's a statement to every 13-year-old's state of mind. Yeah.
You know what else I loved when I was 13?
Well, I was going to say...
Stretching out, Timmy Pooh.
Stretching. But I also love Spider-Man. And we just got the release date for the Spider-Man PlayStation game, which is a game I personally am pretty effing hyped about.
I'm also super hyped about it. Have you seen a lot about this game, Jakku? Spider-Man is pretty awesome.
What?
Have you seen anything about this game yet?
Yeah.
Man, it's...
Spider-Man shooting web like a 13-year-old boy with the nude patch of Tomb Raider.
Whoa. I don't think boy shooting web is the best 13-year-old boy shooting web.
With a nude patch of Tomb Raider. Oh, God.
That's where my... That's where I was going to go.
That was not appropriate.
Oh, that was good.
What is happening here? Oh my God. It looks... back to the subject. Spider-Man looks awesome. It looks kind of like Arkham, but with Spider-Man, and there's like no bad things I can say about that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It looks like it's taking a really similar approach to a video game comic book game where...
Adaptation?
Where it's not necessarily like trying its absolute hardest to like emulate a single Spider-Man or single Spider-Man comic. It's trying to take the character and make it into something that works in a video game, which is really awesome. And the developers, I was watching a little bit of like interviews with them and some Q&As and stuff. They seem really cool. The voice actor behind Spider-Man, I think, nails it perfectly. Like the sass is there, the jokes are there. And I think the coolest thing, one of the cooler things about it is they've confirmed that there is going to be like tons of unlockables in the game, like costumes, level ups, all this kind of stuff. There's going to be progression systems, and there will be absolutely zero, none, except for pre-order bonuses, no microtransactions. I don't consider that a microtransaction, but like exclusive costumes, you know?
Yeah, I think, costumes are pretty crucial in the Spider-Man universe and in the games. They've kind of been a staple in like a few of the games. I don't remember if it was PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 Spider-Man games, but like all the unlockables were like costumes.
Silly costumes, yeah.
It was really cool. So that's good that they're bringing that back. Yeah, I don't know. Spider-Man's just he's a cool dude.
He is a cool dude, and he's a sassy dude. And I think what's really awesome about it is that like Spider-Man games have been okay, but none of them have ever been like bangers, you know? None of them have ever been like games that are like, wow, this blew me away. I think this one has that potential. So its release date was announced this week, September 7th on the PS4. I don't know if it's going anywhere else after that. I think it's like an initial exclusive, but I can't.
I don't know.
It's usually like that in modern gaming now. It'll be a temporary exclusive.
Yeah, but Sony is still the owner of the Spider-Man franchise in general. So they might keep that. Talking about like superhero video games real quick. Like, it's really hard to do superhero video games because in a lot of cases, superheroes are like all powerful.
Like OP, yeah.
Yeah, you take Superman. And ignoring Superman 64.
It's impossible.
You can't make a Superman game that doesn't revolve around him regaining his power in some way, shape, or form.
The best Superman game is the one for NES, but Superman gets killed by bullets, so it's stupid.
Like, would it be fun to play a Superman game where nothing hurts you other than kryptonite?
Yeah, it'd be boring.
It'd be pretty much boring, and like the story would have to be like, oh, all the criminals on the street have kryptonite now.
That would be ridiculous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not that common of a obtained substance.
Yeah, if you're a criminal and you get this really rare rock, you're probably just going to sell it instead of, you know.
and buy another really rare rock.
Yeah, that you're in the criminal game, like, you know what I mean? You're not going to just hang around and try and kill Superman. That's not worth
it.
Right. Like,
that seems like a losing cause. The whole reason you're in the criminal lifestyle is to make a career out of it, obviously. You know, do some good for your family.
Like, yeah, you don't want to throw that away on your first fight.
Exactly. Instead, you just steal that rare rock and, you know, go sell it.
Yeah.
Superman is probably the toughest nut to crack. I think that's why the Batman games have worked so well because he Batman in the end of the day is just a really rich dude with some gadgets. You know what I mean? So
do you think
it wasn't as bad?
Do you think for Batman games he shouldn't have a life bar, but he should have his bank account number up in the top right corner?
Kind
like
of.
Every time you throw a batarang, it's like, oh no, $60.
Yeah, it's kind of Batman's superpowers, just being a rich kid whose parents died and is like, you know.
I mean, he
hasn't moved on from it.
Let's also give him some props though. Batman does have some super sick ninja training.
Yo, it's dope ninja training. I'm not going to front on his ninja training, like, but
he's got like Johnny Cage fighting skills, but also with. I mean, I guess Johnny Cage was also rich, but he didn't buy cool gadgets with it.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Batman is impressive fighting, but Aquaman is infinitely more super of a hero.
True.
As far as superness goes. With that being said, like, Aquaman also, you know, like, if you move to Nebraska, boom, you beat Aquaman. So, like, it doesn't really matter.
Nebraska, like, my only weakness.
Yeah, I think even making an Aquaman game is still easier though than making a Superman game.
There was an
I think
Aquaman
a Spider-Man
game
is probably the second easiest besides. Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man's a hard I feel like Spider-Man's
Wait, there's
a
an
hard
Aquaman
game
on the GameCube?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What does it look like? What's it play like?
Oh man, I've never played it cuz Aquaman's like who wants to play as Aquaman?
Yeah, he's the only superhero you can call Seaman, like.
Yeah. And that was on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This did not get good reviews.
No.
Almost as bad looking as Jaws on the PlayStation 2.
Oh, man. This looks horrible. Oh, this looks like a really bad video game. Okay, well, yeah, there you go. So, I mean, all right, let me go back to this then. Your top three easiest superheroes to make a game out of and your top three hardest.
Okay, hardest.
I'll go first. Okay, you go first.
Hardest is Superman number one for sure. Number two, actually, I'm gonna go to the opposite side here. On easiest, X-Men. Making an X-Men video game, you have so much potential for just awesome level design between all the different characters you can use. And then obviously Batman. And then I don't care. It's too hard. You guys go.
I'm going to feel like Spider-Man's also in the top three. I actually feel like there's been good Spider-Man games. I'm going to say Aquaman is really hard. And just looking at this game, like, I don't even know what else they would have done in this game to make it better. And this is a really bad looking game. And then, Howard the Duck? that might be a really hard one.
That writes itself, okay?
That might be the easiest one. You make an RPG out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. Leisure Suit Larry version of Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Yeah, we beat this topic into the ground.
You know, speaking of stretches, PUBG's back in the news.
Oh, PUBG in the news again, making noise again. Finally, what's going on with PUBG?
I'll say they're in the news, and it's a bit of a stretch, you know. So. tell us about it, X-Water.
All right. Well, PUBG. I mean, the very first episode of the podcast I was ever on, it was back when I was a guest. We talked about PUBG pursuing Epic Games with legal action because of Fortnite and emulating, you know, taking their styles, taking their game, you know. So they were going to sue them. Which didn't work out. So PUBG's like, man, we shouldn't try and sue the big guy. We should sue mobile games that are emulating our styles. That's what they're doing.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
So essentially looking at it at the bare bones, what's going on? Rules of Survival and Knives Out. They're two games. They're mobile games. I believe they're on iOS. I'm not sure if they're also on Android. They're essentially like two games that look like PUBG. They've marketed, you know, chicken dinners a little bit with their ad campaigns, stuff like that, yada, yada. People on YouTube refer to them as like mobile PUBG before PUBG Mobile came out. And PUBG is claiming that, you know, they're getting irreparable damage to their brand and to their profits because of this. So they filed a 155-page complaint list about all the things that these other games have done wrong and why they need to get money from them.
That's a stretch.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it's one thing if like you're claiming like straight ripoff of assets. You know, like if you're like they took the exact buildings and the exact player models and the exact everything and put it on mobile, which I don't think that's what it did. Granted, they look very similar, but like that's kind of video games. Like you could argue that Sonic is just a blue Mario. Like you could do this all day, you know, and it's kind of hard when you're just trying to sue people in your same genre for your same, I don't know.
Well, and that's the worst part though, is that—
like no one can make a realistic game?
Right, it's a realistic game. And so what's going to happen is everyone's going to be like, oh, well, this looks exactly like that other game that also is very realistic.
Yeah.
It's like, no shit.
Like, yeah, like—
that's just how it is. So—
and that's kind of my thing. Like, where you can't really prevent someone from making a realistic shooter game, and I don't think you can own the idea of Battle Royale, because you didn't create the idea of dropping a bunch of people into an arena and letting them fight to the death. Like, that's not your idea either, you know what I mean? Right. It's no more your idea than it is literally anyone's. That's something that's been happening since the beginning of fucking time, man. Yeah. You know?
I give them a little bit on the phrase, or at least when you win the winner, winner, chicken dinner. They didn't come up with that, but—
they didn't come up with that. No, that's been said. They should pay the World Series of Poker then. Like, right,
a thing from them at all. Having a game, like, I feel like if you're copying exactly that, like, I feel like the game shouldn't have that much. But even still, like, it's not their original thing, so they can't really sue against it.
Exactly. Like, it's a shady move by someone else to use the chicken dinner thing. It's a lame move. But like, I watched the movie 21 like 8 years ago, and they say winner, winner, chicken dinner a lot in that movie. And that was before PUBG was ever a thing.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. PUBG can only make the news now by causing lawsuits.
Oh, hey. Okay. 100 people drop into a courtroom. Only one will come out.
And that's not true. PUBG's actually just had a really huge week because they just dropped the new 4x4 map, Savage, and it's really, really fun. I'm not going to lie. I played a few games on it, and it's like a much faster-paced game.
I heard Epic Games is suing them because they copied the small map for them.
Smaller map? Yeah. That's the thing. Like, the thing with like even talking about suing, I think the thing with Epic though is that they're on using the Unreal Engine in PUBG, so they're licensing that out from Epic.
They've literally bought part of the like assets in PUBG have been purchased from the Unreal Marketplace, like the buildings and like the landscape and like the dumb little playgrounds you see around the map. Those are just assets you can buy in the Unreal Marketplace. Like it's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard, man. Like, I don't know. I'm just not sure any of these games. Like, I feel like there's just going to be juggernaut games, and then they're gone in a year, and that's just not gone in a year. But like, they're just not going to be a juggernaut game for longer than a year anymore. Right. I don't know if we're going to get another League of Legends that like dominates for like 5 years.
I hope not. I don't like the 5 year domination of a game, man. I feel like it gets so stale, boring.
Exactly. And it's so easy for people to make games now. And if one game takes off, then you're going to have all these copycats. And hopefully by all of these guys working against each other, somebody rises with the best game of that genre.
Yeah.
And it only makes everyone else's game better.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's the whole PUBG. It does come off as like salty milk. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like it doesn't come off good for them. I don't think it's their best look, especially when you're getting beat right now. It's not like you're the king anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not even fair to say like Fortnite's beating PUBG, because they are like drastically different experiences when you play them. They are very, very different.
Yeah,
like,
one game runs fairly well and the other one doesn't.
Oh, PUBG doesn't run that bad.
Like,
no, but like not even that. They're drastically different experiences. The only thing they share in common is the fact that they're both Battle Royale modes, but there's tons of Battle Royale modes in other games. You know what I mean? Pretty much any game where you only have one light. Like, you could argue that Gears of War is a Battle Royale mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It reminds me real quick that someone in my chat was like, did you hear about PUBG having building in the next update? I'm like, what is this, an April Fool's joke? They're like, yeah. But like, that would
they
just
can't.
Be,
they literally can't do that.
Oh,
now.
It would be horrible and it would be so bad.
Yeah, they. I mean, even if they wanted to do that, they couldn't. Like, yeah. There's no way they could do that. Even if it was like a planned thing at one time, like to do building, there's no way they can do it now.
No, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, that's. I'm not saying another game won't do Battle Royale and building. It might do it way better than Fortnite even. Who knows? But PUBG certainly can't fucking do it. Not after this, all this copycat business they've thrown about.
Speaking of something you can do in a game.
Tell me.
Metroid Fusion now has sequence breaks.
Ooh. What does that mean?
I don't know. I heard it on the internet from my friend Joe. He says it's amazing. But no, apparently something about Metroid Fusion having a new sequence break found, or its first one ever found, where you can actually get almost half of the time off a world record. You're skipping 6 bosses, I believe, from it.
That's spicy.
It seems like a pretty crazy setup, and you actually end up breaking blocks to write into memory in the game, and it overwrites the game state to the end of the game, so it's kind of like a wrong warp. Actually, it is a wrong warp, but it's technically a sequence break, so that's kind of cool. The game's never had this, so you know we might see some sort of TAS bot thing in the future, although probably not because the setup does still take about 45 minutes to get to. So like watching Taz, although Tazma could probably get there in 30 minutes. But it's still really interesting, and it goes to show games later on in the series, later on in life are able to actually have sequence breaks and wrong warps like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think like, you know, what do I want to say? The speedrunning never stops. We're just getting more and more knowledgeable about more and more games, and the speedrunning is becoming bigger and bigger, and more people are getting into it. We're getting more, you know, super bright minds that want to break down their favorite game, which for whatever reason might be Metroid Fusion, you know what I mean? My favorite game is Mario 3. I love that game. There's tons of other people that are breaking it down. Not enough people were breaking down Metroid Fusion before, I guess, you know? And that's... It's just awesome. I'm just glad that it's so cool when something that big gets discovered,
right.
I think. And it brings like new life into a game, because pretty much everybody who ran it before is probably gonna be like, well, now I wanna run it to get this time. Otherwise, I'm going to look like a bitch.
Yeah, a bunch of the runners that I know of, like, were tweeting about it like, oh my God, picking it up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like practically free. If you could, like, you have 40 minutes to try to get this memory rewrite to work, I guess. And like, anyone could do that.
Oh, that's really cool. Also in speedrun news, Ouija, a 15-year-old kid, just set the 16-star record in 16-star record in Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for a lot of reasons. I wouldn't say that speedrunning, I would say it's young, but that's really young.
Yeah.
And B, he's doing it on a game that was out before he was even born.
Yeah, over 10 years. Well,
amazing.
Long before he was even born.
But yeah, long before.
Yeah, so that's crazy to think about. And also, I want to kind of say like scary for the future in some ways of speedrunning. Like, is me an old man, 32, speedrunning? Like,
these kids are going to start taking your job, dude.
Yeah, there's some 15-year-old out there that's going to just smoke me. Bad
the dram belt's gonna get sent on sooner or later, dude.
One day. I mean, somebody will come in and take all those dram records.
Tomb Raider remake to slow these kids down.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. With the nude code, that's what'll slow them down.
Get those 13-year-old boys shooting their webs, man.
In other, probably the biggest speedrun news this week, the Summer Games Done Quick game list came out. And there's some spicy games on there. One in particular, I guess we should talk about.
Yo Noid 2.
not Yo Noid, but Yo Noid 2. They turned down your Yo Noid submission.
Yep.
And instead went with the vastly inferior, in my opinion, SNES version of the game, which was the second one, which I can't believe that there's two Yo Noids out there, I guess. Like, they made the game twice. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, Yo Noid 2 is a fan
game. Do you know anything about Yo Noid 2?
Yeah, it's a fan game that plays like a PlayStation 1 game. It looks a lot like a PlayStation 1 game. It's really kind of cool. The one issue I have with it is that the character can dab. And so
Oh,
but wow.
I just can't support that. And so I myself have.
Oh, so this was made recently then.
Yeah. In about, I think it was August of last year. So.
Oh, wow.
It's a 12-minute speed run. Give or take. He has his classic yo-yo. It's really cool. It's a good platformer. It's in the style of the old, you know, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro, Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks really good for what it is. So it's disappointing that Yo-Noid did not make it in, especially because you guys won't get that backstory with Yo-Noid 2. You won't know, you know, how he came to be the Noid and all this amazing things.
Yeah, I wanted some good lore, you know.
But it's exciting. So maybe there's hope for the Noid because maybe that will whet people's appetite and be like, oh, we need to know more about this guy.
But you didn't get shut out.
No.
You got a submission in, and so did I in the same submission. We were going to be racing Mario Maker along with Carl Sagan 42. People have heard of him.
Yeah, he's a guy.
Failstream, Glitchcat,
Cliffy.
Two amazing Mario Maker players, and Cliffy as well. Another, your Chicago boy.
Indiana. He's
former
Indiana.
Chicago boy.
I want to make that clear.
Former Chicago boy. Yeah, former Chicago boy. Sorry.
I will not tolerate that lie. He continues to spread that he's still in Chicago. Guys, I will give you his home address if you need. No, I will
please,
not.
Please do not do that. But yeah, we got in for Super Mario Maker. It's the return of Mario Maker. I think a lot of people thought this would never happen.
Yeah.
Again? I'm surprised.
So little known fact, I didn't tell you guys. I actually reached out to Nintendo and reached out to SGDQ, and it's actually Mario Maker 2 that we're playing on.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That would actually be really awesome if we could somehow do that. I would bust a serious nut.
You'd shoot some web?
Yeah, I'd shoot some web. But I mean, outside of the game list, it's very Zelda heavy. I think there was 15 total hours of Zelda, including five just for Skyward Sword alone.
There's a lot of Zelda. Yeah, I noticed that.
Zelda.
I don't think I've seen a full Skyward Sword speedrun or any of a Skyward Sword speedrun before.
Yeah, and Wind Waker's in with Skyward Sword skip.
Yeah, Wind Waker is in with barrier skip. So they went very Zelda heavy. They went very Mario heavy. I think there's six Mario games in as well. Granted, not taking up obviously that amount of Zelda time, but granted, Mario games usually, there's usually a lot of them in because they're not particularly long games and they're also mega popular speedruns.
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey is being run by the world record holder, Nicro Veda, and but it's a bonus game. A lot of people are kind of salty about that because they look at it as kind of a cash grab. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Hmm.
I don't really have an opinion. Know. I feel like it makes sense. Lead it up, like let it head off as a bonus game is pretty cool in a way because it's like Super Mario Odyssey. It's the big boy. It was like people wanted to see it at AGDQ, mm-hmm. and we thought we might get like a last minute, oh, check this out, but it didn't happen. So like other than of course my run in 1 week's time from exactly the day of this recording, this will be the first time Mario Odyssey will be showcased at a speedrun marathon.
Well, I mean, the second, your run is the first time.
Yeah.
X-Water.
Yeah.
The second time we'll be at SGDQ.
I'm breaking the mold for the kids to be able to, you know, comfortably run Odyssey on a staged setting.
Yeah. I don't have a problem, I think, with them doing big games that they know are going to get the donation incentive met as big stinking donation incentives. Especially as someone who just had a game as a big stinking donation incentive.
The biggest one, right? That ended up getting hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ended up getting hit. And I tell you right now, like, for me, like, those moments where all those donations were getting in and the more money was pouring in, like, it was like, I was, like, crying in my room because I was just like, holy God, I can't believe people are supporting me in this much. So it's pretty cool. And the other good thing about it is, like, it's an event to raise money. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's trying to suck the money out of you. Yes, it is for a good cause. You know what I mean? Stop being a bah humbug. Like, everyone forgets these. This is about the charity. Like, I kind of think, like, GDQ is almost its own thing that exists outside of speedrunning. Now that involves speedrunning, like, because speedrunning doesn't pull in 200,000 people.
Definitely not.
At a time.
Right.
No, on its daily basis. Like, the most I've ever seen the speedrun community have is like 16, 17,000 on average days. So GDQ is just a mainstream. I would like almost compare it to like the way the Olympics makes people care about track and field. GDQ makes people care about speedrunning, and it just kind of exists on its own plane. And people need to get over it. It's a charity event even more than it is a speedrunning event.
Yeah.
I would say at this point.
I think one of the big reasons people draw or tune into GDQs is not so much for speedrunning, actually. It's just they remember these games as kids, and it's a nice little like, oh, yeah, this I remember playing this game. This is really cool. I get to see it beat, and I get to see the story again. Well, not really see the story, because we're going to skip all that, but we're going to get to see the gameplay and have some memories. And I think that's a big draw.
It's a great flashback for people who otherwise don't see these games as often as we see them.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the vast majority of what it is. Like, the whole speedrun community obviously watches all 15,000 of us and the 2,000 kids on Reddit that make up 9 billion posts a day. I don't know. It's just, I don't have a problem with Odyssey being a cash grab. I think some other things we should talk about. Super Metroid is back in. You guys have any thoughts about that?
It's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any particular, you know, it's Super Metroid. It's a big speed game.
Yeah, it's a great game. Yeah. Symphony of the Night is out, and this is the first time ever Symphony of the Night has not got in.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that's a little bit of some knowledge right there. JP is his name, is going to be running in his since SGDQ 2013, he's ran in every single GDQ.
Wow.
So he has the current longest streak. I've ran in 6 straight. This will be my 6th straight. And I'm like just amazed at how he has pulled out that many games. Like, that's so insane. It's so hard to like keep it, what do I want to say? Like, keep it new and fresh. Mm-hmm. Like, it's wildly impressive that he can do that. So props to him.
I hear his hands have aged at twice the rate of a normal human because of this.
Probably, man. Yeah, probably. And I'm trying to think of if there's anything else. Like, I don't really see any other big stats. It's a very, like, I say it's a popular game heavy lineup. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree with that. I see, like, I scroll through the list and I see a lot of games that even if I've never, like, seen the runs, I'm like, wow, I like that game. Like, people... Yeah. That's one of those games people bring up in conversations where like, this was my favorite game, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I think 100%. And I think that's good. I think AGDQ can get people in for the novelty of the event. I think SGDQ has to work a little harder because A, it's summer and people are just outside more.
Yep.
And B, it's just kind of the nature of the event. AGDQ will always be looked at as like the big boy. You know, this is like, it's like WrestleMania versus SummerSlam, if I want to make a WrestleMania reference, which sadly is going to be over. So I can't give you my WrestleMania preview that I wanted to do, guys.
Oh, no.
I was totally planning on just turning the Warp World podcast into a WrestleMania preview show. But by the time you listen to this, it'll already be over. But I'm guessing Roman Reigns wins. So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of it, I think, for the SGDQ preview. I mean, the games list out. It's not our full preview show. We'll do that later on. Yeah. But
It's gonna be exciting though. I'm really excited to have you two both running it. Unfortunately, I'm gonna be sitting out of this GDQ this summer, not even attending. But
crazy.
There's a lot of cool stuff. Honestly, I wanted to give a quick shout out to GlitchCat with the cool spot run.
Yeah,
which I'm really excited about, because one of the cool facts about like cool spot is the world record for it was actually taken from Darbyan during AGDQ in the practice room by GlitchCat because he found sweet new tech in the game. So like, it's like this game that, you know, it's not like this huge big game or anything, but it was a pretty fast run by Darbyan, and GlitchCat ended up finding some sweet new tech, and it's a really entertaining run, surprisingly enough, from like a game based off of the dot on a 7-Up can.
Yeah. he's been able to get the world record a few more times. Like,
He's pushed it down a good chunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for that. He's going to be running. I had a commentating with him last at AGDQ, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great to see him run. It's obviously my first time actually running at a GDQ as well. I've been on stage. I've helped out in the Mario Maker races, but never got to actually, you know, touch the controller. So I'm ready to sabotage my team in any way possible. So look out for that.
Were you nervous? Were you excited? Like, when did you find out that we got in?
Did you know last night? Yeah.
Okay.
So I was streaming. Was I streaming? Yeah.
Oh, you were streaming when it happened. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was streaming. And I refreshed my page where it shows submissions. Because the submission page were not up yet. And it showed, you know, Super Mario Maker as in and Noid as pending. So I still had hope for Noid.
Oh.
But yeah, it was really exciting. it was really cool, and it's gonna be great. I think it's gonna be really fun to do. So,
yeah, I completely agree. I think it's gonna be a good race. So the Mario Maker communities, we're gonna throw some cool shiz up there. Yeah. I would say
absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of stretching.
Stretching, yeah, this we're stretching that segment. Now let's throw it in. Let's get some listener questions, baby.
Yeah, all right. So this first viewer question, let's see. Big time fan of the podcast. You three make an amazing
trio. What's his name?
I'll get to it. It's fine.
Okay.
It's at the bottom. I wanted to ask you guys what your video game boss you hold the most resentment towards. I hate Wizpig from Diddy Kong Racing so much. Me too.
Oh, wow, you both do.
Or two, I guess, yeah. That big dumb pig is so much faster than any car in that game, and it shakes me to my core, even as a 25-year-old man. What's the one boss you never forget losing to over and over again? Thanks, your biggest fan, X-Water.
Aw, thanks, X-Water.
That's a nice email.
Wait, that was you? You emailed that, X-Water?
I listen to the podcast. Oh. I should get to ask a question every now and then.
Oh, you did it. You did it for Auth, didn't you?
No, I actually, I thought of it last night, and I was like, you know, I don't want to forget this. I could have put it in the thread, but I was like, I want to see if I can bait Jakku into going through all that before reading a name. And
yeah, it worked. But no,
right, Jakku, you go first.
Wizpig sucks, by the way. I do want to go...
Me too. You said me too, and you wrote the fucking letter.
Like, I remember playing that game when it came out, and like Diddy Kong Racing was a great game.
It was,
and it's so good.
I want to say Diddy Kong Racing and GoldenEye were the two games that I played the most on on the N64, and like were two of the first games where I like unlocked 100% of stuff without any codes, without any cheating, and it was amazing. Because like in the old NES games, it's like, oh, here's a password. Let me just type this in. Oh, I got all the stuff. Cool. But like at that point, I was 12 years old. And so like at that point, I started to be like, I want a challenge. I want to make sure I can feel fulfilled. I need like some sort of like reward for this. And it was like beating these things. And Wizpig was the worst. I remember so much frustration with that guy.
Dude, it was so bad because like, you race him once and you're like, this isn't so bad. He's not that quick. But you race him a second time and I don't know, man. You have to know like the speed tech of that game in and out to be able to beat him. Because my only way to beat him was literally staying in front of him so his sprite pushes your car faster than it can move. And if you can memorize his path, you can successfully pull this off. But that's it. You fall behind for 1 second, you're done, kid.
Done. No, I didn't. I would do the tech to go through. Like there was some sort of tech where you like release the gas and then press the gas when you're going.
Yeah,
through
right on
boosts
the boost
or something.
Yeah.
You had to
touch
do
the
those.
Grass for even like a millisecond instead of the road, and you lose enough speed to lose the race there.
Yeah, that was insane. What did that unlock? TT the time clock, or was that was being time trials or something?
I think you got him a little earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember unlocking all those characters, and it was so much fun.
You guys are really heated about this. Yeah. I didn't remember like feeling that cheated from that.
Oh man.
You know, from Diddy Kong Racing. I unlocked everything too. I don't remember that being like such an issue for me. Maybe I just got really lucky in my
Pooh
one
never
race
got
or
to the lighthouse.
Pooh never raised.
Oh, I got to the lighthouse, man. I raced against the pig. I had TT, I had them all. I don't want to hear that. I bet I still got my memory card here.
That would be hilarious if you're like, lighthouse. What?
Mine's kind of weird because mine's not even a boss, but it's Soda Popinski in Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Oh.
And it's probably like the first character that gives me trouble. But every character past that really isn't that bad either until Tyson. It's just Soda Popinski is so hard for me. And it's really weird. He does guys kind of like offbeat punches. So like every other boss kind of like, you know, like does their move and then punches pretty quick. And like Soda Popinski like kind of like does this like hesitation before it. And it always, I don't know, it always throws me off. And then I freak out and Soda Popinski knocks me down. And then he laughs at you, kind of similar to the way the Duck Hunt dog does. And it's degrading and makes you feel bad about yourself. Mm-hmm. So Soda Popinski was definitely that one as a kid that I do not appreciate. Now as an adult, he's not a problem. But as a kid, like, fuck that guy.
I thought the hardest boss for you was going to be getting out of the house in Tomb Raider 3 with the nude patch.
Oh, yeah. That was, well, yeah, you're just busy shooting your web. Anyway, Tell me we got more questions.
Yes, we got one more.
I regret even talking about this nude patch.
It's not like you shower with your brother or anything.
No, that's still the worst thing, most embarrassing thing that'll ever happen. Like, no matter what I say embarrassing to me, I know you're not embarrassed about it, which is even more embarrassing.
Like, for the new listeners, there's two shower heads, no interaction, separate segments. It's a totally fine, reasonable brotherly activity.
All right.
You should have just...
All right, cut that out.
Oh, man.
All right, so this question comes from Biscuit1337. Out of any retro games out there, what would you actually like to see remade or reimagined? My personal choice is Zelda 2 reincarnated in the Metroidvania style, and I have to agree with them on that.
That's a good choice. I think off the top of my head, I'm going to go with the original Spyro trilogy.
I've always wanted a Link to the Past in 3D.
Yeah, different from...
Like in an OOT 3D type 3D?
But it's like Link to the Past. Like, you know, you have a desert and all the different areas and a dark world and all that shiz. And same game, just, you know. All in 3D for some reason.
I always wanted like a Link to the Past, but in a little bit more updated style from Four Swords on the GameCube, but like still really sprite heavy and just really well done. Not the Link Between Worlds on the 3DS style, but still sprite. I always thought that'd be cool. But I've heard there's rumors actually about Link Between Worlds coming to the Switch. And
that'd be cool.
And maybe even a Link to the Past version of it, combo thing. But
that would be really cool.
Yeah.
If they do that, they should just make randomizer on the Switch, official randomizer with both games on the Switch, and just like really blow it out.
That'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm. If they've been seeing it, and it's been big, so I'm sure like at least one guy on their team would be aware of it.
Yeah, they're aware of it.
It could definitely make for an officially supported randomizer from Nintendo could be really interesting.
If Nintendo's not aware of a Link to the Past randomizer after it was in GDQ, they are a horrible company.
right.
Yeah, they're just a horrible company if that's the case.
I think my remaster or like reinvented game.
Nope, you already answered.
No, it was fake.
Okay.
Pokemon Snap. I wanted to see it on the Wii U.
Good answer.
I wanted to see it on the Wii U with like the gamepad's your camera and the screen is other stuff. That's not going to happen anymore, but you know what? I still want it. Pokemon Snap. Give me a good new Pokemon Snap.
Dude, a handheld only Switch version would be hot. I would be way into that, man. Yeah. Because it'd be so much fun, like looking around and like they could hide so many secrets like around you and you physically can't find if you're not looking the right way.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be so much fun.
That would be really fun.
It's so gyroscopic controls are so built for holding a camera in a video game. And no one's doing it.
Right? I mean, there was a Fatal Frame for Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like, that was like the closest. When I first saw the Wii U, I thought to myself, oh, they're going to make Pokemon Snap 2.
Right.
And then they never made Pokemon Snap 2.
You'd think with how good they are at capitalizing on people's nostalgia, it would have happened already, but I don't know.
Man, Pokemon Snap's a good game.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's never been in a GDQ either, I think. It needs to get
That's
in.
That's surprising.
I mean, granted, it's all about lag reduction, but still, like, lag reduction, baby.
Yeah.
Any more listener questions?
We got one more.
One more.
All right. If you could wipe your memory and experience one game for the first time again, which one would it be? This comes from Upper 90.
Breath of the Wild.
Ooh.
Ooh, a recent one.
That was such a fun first experience.
That was
a really amazing first
experience.
Yeah, but I can't get back into it. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, movement feels slow or something, or I don't know, but I just cannot get back into it for some reason. So, Breath of the Wild would be the one for me. Because I loved it.
Do you think you'd be able to wipe your memory and not play a game again? Like, what's one game, like, let's change up the question a little bit. What's one game you would also wipe your memory of and never play again?
Yoshi's Island DS.
Oh.
That game is so bad. It makes me want to say things I wouldn't even say to my greatest enemy. Like, it's so bad. It had a great ideas where you could, like, you had different babies. So like baby Mario, baby Luigi, baby Peach, baby Wario, baby DK, and each baby had a different like little ability that, you know, changed up the level design. Great idea. Like real spot on stuff. But the level design was so bad that it made me want to gouge out my eyeballs. And I played it like during a marathon stream, and I played it all the way through in one sitting after Yoshi's Island 1, like the original. So I was like, wow, this was so much worse of an experience. Like in the level, like it was just one of those things where every time you died and had to replay like the same 6 minutes of that level that was an auto scroller that made no sense, that had like traps that were off screen sneaking up on you. It was just so bad, and I never want to see it ever again. Erase it.
All right. I'm glad I changed the question up. Man, I don't know. I feel like I would probably pick that South Park game on the N64.
Really?
Yeah, that's
a bad game.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember.
That is a really bad game.
I remember Yoshi DS, but I don't remember Yoshi Island DS all that much. I think at that time, like the DS was, you know, getting a few decent games here and there, and I was still getting a lot of games, but I think I would kind of like move on quickly from games. So it was probably like a quick, like, oh, I'll play this for a week and then forget about it sort of thing. Man.
Yeah. RoboCop for the Super Nintendo, which is one of the top two bad games. Actually, you know what? Probably Superman 64, because I was hyped for Superman 64. And I can't believe we're talking about it twice in our fucking podcast right now. But I was like legitimate. I pre-ordered that game like a year out. And like you didn't really get like game previews back then, honestly. Like the internet didn't really, I wasn't looking up game reviews on the internet. It was all EGM. So I got Superman 64 from before, like no reviews. I had no reviews on it. I had pre-ordered it, prepaid it. I was ready to go. I was hyped for release day. I got home and like, It took me probably like 2 days. Like I probably played like 11 hours of it before I just kind of like looked around and like just said to myself, like, this fucking sucks.
Wow.
This is really, really bad. And I hate this game so much. And then like my copy of EGM came like a week later and it got like a 0.05 worst rating I'd ever seen in EGM before. So I was like, well, at least I'm not the only one who thought this.
Right.
And then there's this, then Toys, which was based on the Robin Williams movie of the same name for Super Nintendo. That's also a really, really bad video game. So
yeah,
there you go.
There's
a bunch of bad games.
I never played that game, but I remember seeing it a lot.
Oh, those are three really bad video games.
Yeah.
RoboCop for Super Nintendo wouldn't be that bad, but it's basically Contra, but you're moving at the speed of RoboCop.
Yeah, you're so slow. I know exactly.
Yeah, and like, and he can't take any fucking damage.
No.
It's like, well, you're RoboCop, dude. Like, if you're... Sorry.
You should be able to take some damage.
You should be able to take some damage if you're
get
RoboCop.
Some
just some
on
damage.
Him.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think that's it, guys.
I think that's it. That's it.
We did it.
Feels good to be back, guys.
It feels good to be home.
Feels good to be home.
There was a few failed transitions. I'm not going to name names or anything.
We'll work on that. We'll reprimand that person and work on it next week. That's it, episode 30. Or wait, is this 38?
38.
Are we counting this as 38?
We never got
so
to say 37.
So 37 was Frame Savers.
Yeah.
Okay, so 38. Tracy Osho, which is not how you say 38.
That's fine.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for joining us. As always, send your questions to podcast@warp.world. You can check us out at podcast.warp.world. Did I say those both right?
I think so.
Podcast.warp.world is the website you can listen on. Google Play, iTunes, you can check them out there. Rate them. Give them a lot of good ratings if you're already listening, which obviously you are because you're hearing this.
Yeah, you're hearing this.
Yeah. And we next week, we're recording...
Live.
Next week, it's going to be a live in-person episode, all three of us together in... I was going to say beautiful sunny San Francisco, but there's no guarantee it's going to be sunny in San Francisco.
Or beautiful, really.
It'll probably be pretty nice. it'll be pretty mild. I'm guessing mild temps, light wind. That's what I'm guessing.
Sounds good.
But yeah, we will be live. Maybe we can do it at Bebo headquarters.
Yeah, I wonder if they got like, or maybe we can just go to Twitch and do one in the stream room.
Oh, that's a good idea too. These are both good. Well, I don't know if we'd have to probably have to stream it on Twitch Live then too.
Hey, live episode, maybe.
I don't want to do that.
either way, next week's episode is going to be awesome. It will be the Calathon special episode. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Bye, everyone. All right. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a stretch of a week and. Until the next one, guys.
Bye.